the benefits. Boy, I tell you, in reading this psalm, you know, as we read over this psalm, we can see it that David says, you know, he's beneath me in green pastures. And he's beside me in the still waters. He's with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's all around me in the presence of my enemies. He's above me when he anoints my head with oil. He's very near me when he's guiding me through the path of righteousness. He's behind me in the goodness and mercy, but he's before me in heaven forever and ever and ever. The shepherd of heaven, the shepherd of heaven, verse 6. The first part of this tonight reflects back over the other verses and what David had been through and how he thanked the Lord. And it helps us to understand even tonight as we review back over our life. And it makes you think, as I know myself, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You know, it's the longer that you serve Jesus Christ, the longer that you've been with Jesus Christ, the sweeter his relationship comes to you. And that's what David was telling us as he looks back over upon his life. And you see how good that God has been with him and been to him. You know, the devil, he does the opposite. The devil, you know what, gives you the best first. Proverbs 20 and 17 said, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards in his mouth shall be filled with gravel. The devil gives the best stuff first and gravel at the end. You know, the devil's temptation and all these old worldly things that we have, always tempting us, always trying to pull us down, always showing us, we think, the brighter side of it, but the end is always the gravel in our mouth. You see the TV and the advertisements, it fills our homes and fills our eyes and fills our children's eyes and our family eyes. And they want to tell you how great that beer and all these alcohol beverages is for you in the gusto of time. And they just say, it don't get any better than this. And how that you need all this gusto that you get from this alcohol and beer or whatever else they may be advertising this area. But they don't never show you the car accidents across our nation that kill many people. They don't tell you about the children that's neglected because of alcohol, and they should have brought bread and should have brought milk home. They brought a case of beer. They don't tell you about neglected children. Neither the medical expenses that it costs in our country, but they'll show you the good side of it. You see, but Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. We know that these old bodies is, we've heard tonight, you know, we have a lot of aches and pain and we're getting older. And we know those old bodies, if we live long enough, before we wind up, it ain't going to be nothing, just a big old pile of bones and a bag of pain. And a lot of times you hear people say, well, they've seen their better days. No. Not if they're a Christian, they hadn't seen their better days. Their better days is ahead of them. Man, I tell you what, when I seen that, I'm telling you what, they made me want to shout. I'm going to tell you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy have begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inherit incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Standing on a reservation that God has already made for me. Man, my better days is not all behind me. My better days is ahead of me because I got a reservation made. So you go on a trip somewhere, you better call ahead of time, get your reservation made. Well, I already called ahead. I got mine. The ticket's free. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ. And I made my reservation, and I don't have to worry because my better days is ahead of me, standing reservation, waiting for me. Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ while I'm here. Far better to die is gain. Gain what? Man, I'm going to tell you, we could talk about that all night, couldn't we? To gain. Man, I tell you, when I was preparing this and I got to thinking about that, and you get to think about all the sorrow that we have in this life. And we're at the age most of us can already see that this world don't offer us nothing but a lot of sorrow and difficulty and heartaches. And the longer we stay here, the more of it we're going to see. But you get to think about what we got laying ahead of us in heaven, I'm going to tell you, it'll get you excited, will it not? It'll get you excited from what we leave this old place. Because there's so much down here. We go face rejection every day and sorrow and sickness and unkindness and difficulties and problems. All every day, every week, it just filled up with it. And you'd think, well, maybe to get better. Maybe to get better. I always used to think that whenever I was a child, you know. Man, some of these old people retire and they had it made, you know, and I had to get up and go to school and get up and go to work and lay out and retire and sitting on the porch with a rocking chair. I said, boy, they got it made. They don't have no worry in the world. Is that true? Is that true? I had it all figured out. But as I began to get the age, the war gets more intense, does it not? The problem gets bigger. Because you see, no matter what age we face in this world, I'm going to tell you, this old world has got built-in problems for every age, no matter what it is. But we can look to one to bring security for those that is insecure. And by the wisdom, by the truth in that verse 6, it's a fundamental fact. All of us need this acceptance and this security. And we just find that it's in Jesus Christ forevermore. David knew what it was to go through a lot of rejection, problems, difficulties. Saul was after him to kill him, to take his life. His own son, Absalom, rose up against him, and near about the whole nation of Israel really was against David at one time. And he had to find some refuge. It's amazing how that word keeps popping up after I preached on it. Refuge, and that refuge was in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, that's where your refuge is too, and mine also. Verse 6, the first word, surely, surely, that is a word for certainty. The world, you say there's no certainty, you know, but David said, and he penned this, the Holy Spirit says, certainty, without a doubt, confidence. David, I am convinced that the Lord will take care of me in the future. What convinced David of that? What really will convince you of that? That God's going to take care of us. We got across that old dark Jordan, but we hadn't got across it alone. But what we got to assure us, because all we got to look back is a child of God, is look back and see what God has done for you up to this point tonight. All your life, you just look back on all your life, and you see the goodness. The goodness follows us in the good times of your life. Makes provisions and our healing and makes our guidance. The goodness. But mercy, you know, follows us in the lean times for correction and for forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. I understand more today than I did when I first got saved about God's word, but I do understand one thing, that God's goodness or God's mercy and goodness follows us all the days of our life. And I want to thank the Lord tonight for that. I have a chance to testify, and that's my testimony this night. Thank you for the mercy of God and the goodness of God, that he's following me, and he's going to follow me. You know, as you look back in life, and you don't know that even the Lord was there. I mean, you thought you was living your life, you know, it's all you and all your strength and everything you've done. You know, as you get older, then you look back and see how God was there all the time leading you. And then after you were saved, look at the time, how God has been with you. It is amazing, isn't it? How God has been with us all the time. His goodness and his mercy. Now, you know, looking back what God has done for us, would we have any problem, should have any fear that God's going to take care of us in the future? Look what you've come through. You've had some close calls several times, have you not? But not only that, you've been in some difficulties, have you not? And God has brought you through it, and you didn't know you're going to get through it or not, but you did. Why? Because God's goodness and mercy followed you. So I don't have to worry. When I saw this, it just about made me want to shout. They weren't nobody to hear me, so I just kept my mouth closed. But anyway, it really, to what God has done for me, and what has God done for you? I mean, each one of us tonight, if we could really just stand up and just reveal our heart for what God has done for us, we'd be here until the end of the morning at daylight, and never would get through of what God has done for us, for the goodness and mercy. God's goodness pursues after us, follows, it said, that second word there. You know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me follow. You know, that word there is in the Hebrew language is a word that an animal uses for tracking their prey down. Follows for tracking their prey down. You know, you've seen on television where the wolf gets the scent of an animal, maybe an elk, it might be some other animal, it might be a whatever it is, and whatever the animal they're after. And those wolves, they track it down. They get in these packs, you know, they track the animal down. No matter where it goes, they track it down. And you've seen on television, I was reading where a cheetah can run 70 miles an hour. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how they ever clock one. But anyway, they claim a cheetah, you know, these nature pictures, I like to watch them, make it run 70 miles an hour. And they have a fixed focus. When they run after something, they fix their focus on the neck of their prey, and then nothing distracts them. I mean, they keep that focus right on the neck of their prey, and they pursue it. You know, and that's the word here when it says that God's goodness and God's mercy is following you like a track of a wolf. Everywhere you go, the goodness and mercy is on your trail. Just like that cheetah, the goodness and mercy of God fixes on you and all your life. God's goodness and mercy, day and night, sleeping, wherever you go, God's mercy and God's goodness has got you fixed right there in the crosshairs of God's goodness and mercy. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that'll give you some relief. I'm telling you to know what God is taking care of us every day with His goodness and His mercy. My, my, my. God's goodness pursues us, and He pursues us for the best for every one of us. Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all, is He not? And His tender mercy are over all His work. The Lord wants the best for our lives. Do y'all believe that? The goodness is on our heels. If I could just understand. And it helps me understand, you know, the Bible. I got a several hundred dollar worth of commentaries in my library. But you know the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I can tell you that. And you know, as I read through this, and it begins to, as you begin to read and study and meditate, other scriptures come into your mind and help you reveal other scriptures that you might know and understand that you didn't really know before you started studying this specific scripture. And one come to me was Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That means God's goodness and mercy in that verse 28 is following us. And I'm going to make everything work out for the good. Everything's not going to be good for to us, but good for us. Because His goodness and mercy is following after us. Everywhere we go, God's goodness and mercy. In bad circumstances, God all of me brings out the good because God never changes. And thank God He don't ever change. Mercy works in us. God's goodness is what happens to us. God's mercy is what happens in us, pursued by God's best. You know what? That's what God is doing for you tonight and all through your life since you've been saved. He's been pursuing for your best, if we would just allow Him to. Also, He's pursuing you for the blessings that He wants to give you. Mercy, that word mercy is a covenant word. Loving kindness. God made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with Moses, a covenant with the nation of Israel. That was a covenant word when it says, you know, mercy. And what it means is to bend over, and to lean over. A covenant word, mercy, to bend over or to lean over. And it's a picture of a mother that's always continuously bending over and taking care of her baby. How many times, mothers, have you been over and reached down and took care of your baby? Either in the crib or the bed or you petted it or whatever it needed, anything. Everything that baby needed. How many times that you've been over and took care of that baby? The baby's needs. Well, that's what mercy is doing for us. Mercy, just reaching down, God said. His covenant with you, He's reaching down as His children to you. He's bending over as He meets the needs of every one of us. David said, you know, pursued by mercy. And he said, I'm glad justice has not come my way. Aren't you glad tonight that God give you mercy and not justice? We experience, I said, with difficult days and sickness and sorrow, but We go through all the sickness and sorrow and difficulties of this life, but not without the goodness and mercy of God. He's still with us. God's goodness gives us what we don't deserve, and God's mercy holds back what we do deserve. Thank the Lord. Goodness and mercy. Now, that is God's sheepdogs, because, you see, he's the shepherd, and he's got two. You ever seen his picture where these border collies herd these sheep? Well, shepherds always had these border collies, and now these border collies, you know, they get all these sheep. The shepherd's out in front of the sheep, and the border collies is back of the sheep. You know, and those border collies, they'll run around there and nip them here, and, you know, and they'll run around there and nip them there. They're always guiding those sheep in the way that the shepherd's going. There's goodness and mercy about there following you, don't know it? And those collie dogs, the goodness and mercy, is following you. And every once in a while, they have to nip us on the heel to get us back in line. Never hurts, never harms the sheep, but always puts them in that place of the direction called the shepherd is walking. The shepherd is leading the sheep, and those goodness and mercy, those two dogs back there, collie dogs, is back there, and they're guiding us in the way that the shepherd's going. That's what goodness and mercy is doing. He's just guiding us all along the way. Goodness and mercy. Until one of these days, you know what? We're going to be home one of these days, because we're moving in that direction. And goodness and mercy is keeping us herded down the right road, because they're going to stay there now. How long? Until it gets all the sheep inside the fold with the shepherd. Goodness and mercy going to stay with you till you're inside the gates of heaven. That'll make you shout today. The mercy works in us, but heaven waits before us. Whew, this is a good one. You know, I ain't got time to go on this. Listen. Heaven waits for us. In the last part, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what have happened to David. And then there's a big old word in there. The first one, it says, and. Now, the and ties yesterday and today and also tomorrow with David and with you, with me tonight. We followed David through the green pastures, the still waters, the shadow of death, the presence of the enemies, anointed head of oil, the righteous path. Now heaven is before me, David says. We're all headed home. Hebrews 13 and 14. For here have we no continual city, but we seek one to come. One is coming. We're living in tents. You know, this, it said this is a tabernacle, a tent. Why? Because this is not our permanent home down here. Anybody that makes this permanent home down here, they're in bad shape if they think this is all this world they are. In the book of Revelation, you'll find out there's a phrase that goes all through the book of Revelation, starts in about chapter 5 and goes on out to about the end of Revelation. It says, those that dwell upon the earth. Those that dwell upon the earth. If you read it in the Hebrew, I mean the Greek, it says those that dwell upon earth, the earth dwellers. Those people that live just for this world, they're going to find out that this is not the only world. There's another world, and that world for me and you. And we're looking for that city, the certainty of heaven. David says, a surety, you know, that I'm going to dwell there. Not no hope that I will dwell there, but he says, you know, I'm going to dwell there. I'm going to be in God's celestial home. Then, heaven is a real place. Jesus Christ said, I go prepare a place for you. Jesus said that. And 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've done that. Why'd you commit to Jesus Christ? My soul. The greatest thing that you have is your soul. And God give you a choice what to do with your soul. Who are you going to trust with your soul? I trusted Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to trust Jesus Christ until that day. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life until that day, and then I don't have to worry. I'm going to be in heaven. He said it's a real place. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Jesus Christ said that's the truth. Heaven is a present place. It's right now. You know what Jesus Christ said to that thief on the cross? He said, remember me when you go into your paradise. He says, you'd be with me today in paradise, right today, right now. So it's a present place. It's a perfect place. We'll go into a land of no mores. I ain't got time to tell you about all of them. The company of heaven. People's going to be there. It's going to be there a long time because it says forever. Forever. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what happened? The shepherd of glory waits for you. He's got goodness and mercy. Just keep you on the narrow path. But he's waiting for you. You know, it didn't tell us the journey was going to be easy, did he? But I'm going to tell you, the destination is going to be worth it. But not only that, as we look back over our life and surely goodness and mercy have been following us, and wait when we get through with all this, it's going to be worth it. And it makes me think of a mother. Us men don't know how to appreciate mothers. But you see, mothers go through those 9 months of the agony and the pain and the suffering and uneasiness and everything else. I can't describe it because I've never been through it. But then when that baby's born, mothers, can you say all that pain and discomfort? Could you say, when you see that baby, could you say it was worth it? Could you say it was worth it? You see, that's what's going to happen when we get to glory. I'm so tired of all this we happen to go through down here, but I'm going to tell you, when we see the face of Jesus Christ, whoo, we can say, it was worth it, Lord. It was worth it. It was worth it. Man, what a great Savior we have. What a great Savior we have. We have a You have a song there, Barry?